Welcome back to Live Vedanta for our college-focused Seeking Culture Back to School series. Today's episode is special because we have questions from our seekers directly, and it tackles something many of us face: stepping into independence while staying true to ourselves. Whether you're a parent or a college student, we know you'll really appreciate this episode. We've gathered questions from both parents and chicks to bring to our guests today, Sri Vivek Gupta, or Vivekji as many affectionately call him. Vivekji has spent nearly 2 decades guiding people on how to live with clarity, connection, and calm, from daily meaningful morning sessions to speaking at several global organizations and interacting with young adults. His message is simple: inspire, love, be. Vivekji, welcome. We're so grateful to have you here.
I'm also very happy to be here. Thank you.
We've got a few questions from young adults as well as parents on preparing for college. Any starting thoughts from Vivekji on this topic?
Yeah, college is complicated. As someone who's gone through the college experience, it is complicated. And so asking questions is very normal. It's very healthy. Otherwise, our trajectory in college can really be downwards. So these questions, these reflections can help someone evolve, can help someone really become a better person through college, not just get a degree.
Exactly. And so for our first question, we have something from a parent. So let's start with this.
Sure.
How do I let go when my child leaves for university? And what's a healthy way to stay connected without holding on too tightly?
Yeah. It's a very hard experience. A lot of parents have told me one of the hardest experiences in their life is when their child or children go to college. And as someone who has young kids, right now it's just theoretical for me, but I think about it a lot. So here's what I would tell myself. I am raising my children, I teach high school students, etc., to get to college, to go beyond college, because the point is to become more independent. So for me to train them to become independent and then become emotional that they're not with me is a contradiction. I should keep that lighthouse in mind. To really help someone is to help them to become independent. And then when they do go to college, whether it's nearby or far away, a way to stay connected, and I like that you use that word, a way to stay connected without holding on in an overly emotional way would be to have a regular touch point. In an extreme example, when I was living in a monastery, then I believe it was Thursdays at 3 o'clock that my parents would call me. So every Thursday at 3 o'clock, we would talk for say 15 minutes, catching up on life. Now I didn't have a phone, that was an incoming call phone, but for our college students who are more free with telecommunication and Zoom meetings and so on, maybe as you're walking to class every day, you can check in for 5 minutes or send a text message to give me a learning from the day. So that regularity in communication will go a long way where you feel connected without feeling like I'm missing my child. I hope that works.
Yeah. And for students in college, how should their relationship be in communicating with their parents? Friends where they're getting a lot of calls, they might be doing something else, their priorities have changed a little. How do you suggest that they navigate that dynamic?
Yeah. It is tough. Humorously, when I went to college and I had a shared living space with 3 other roommates, and we each had our own rooms. So we had a phone, and every time my father would call, and he would call this phone, and suppose I wasn't there, he would leave a message saying, "Hello, Vivek, this is your father." And then he would leave the phone number. Like I don't know my father's voice and I don't know his phone number, but he was so formal about it. And my roommates would often laugh at that. So what helped me, let's say, not be annoyed by my parents who are contacting me in front of my roommates and so on, is to be grateful that because of my parents' support, whether it's through effort or time or resources, I got to go to college. I am in college. And now in my case, I've completed college. Without my parents, it would have been a struggle for any of this to happen. So when we are more grateful, we become less annoyed. less suffocated. And then the proactive point also is what I had shared for parents and college-going students to set up that rhythm of communication. That way, like if it's Friday night and I'm going out with my friends, I don't want to talk to my mother. I want to get ready to go out. So why don't we set up that rhythm of we'll talk on Friday morning at this time, but to work together towards that. And one more point is, for myself, I don't use a cell phone actively. Sometimes when people ask me my number, I really have to think about, well, what is my number? I keep giving them my wife's number, Sheila's number. And so the point that I'm trying to make is when someone calls me and I don't pick it up because it's not important, I do get back to them. We've become very urgent in our communication that if someone texts us, we have to text right back. Or someone calls us, we have to call right back. But you don't. If you're doing that which is more important, don't pick it up. Don't text back. And eventually you can get back to them, which you should do out of responsibility. Fair?
Yeah, that's totally fair. And that's such great advice on staying balanced in this relationship, especially when moving away from home.
Mm-hmm.
The next question we have from a chick is that campus life can be a whirlwind of opportunities, and which can sometimes feel more overwhelming than exciting. So it feels like a buffet. There's so many clubs, internships, courses, parties. How do I choose what to say yes to, and what kinds of experiences would you recommend we try while in college?
Yeah. College is exciting because there's so much diversity of people, unlike in high school where it's more regimented, and then also of experiences. You get to decide what time you sleep. You get to decide what to study and so on. It's exciting because of the diversity, but there's a complexity with that because you can really get lost then. I find many college students try to do too much, especially in their first semester of their first year. And that really compromises their physical health, their mental health, and their academic health. So my suggestion here is, when getting to college, is set up a parameter in terms of time of how much you're going to socialize with friends in a going out kind of way. Set up a parameter in terms of time of what kind of clubs are you going to be part of. You can be part of every club and you'll never have any time. But maybe, like for me, I took up one athletic club. I took up one more, let's call it a extending my education club. And I took one more self-development club. Took it up, meaning was part of it. So I find using parameters in terms of time and where I want to grow, it becomes easier to say no because I'm more clear about saying yes. So all of that, all of those systems helps one to really engage more. You get to be part of that club and that party more rather than being at the party and thinking you have to study now, or being part of that club and thinking, oh, I should have joined another club.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the real benefit in doing this is also that you have some exposure to everything.
Yes.
And you're able to do that early on.
Mm-hmm.
And surround yourself and then choose exactly who and what you surround yourself with as you move through college.
Yeah, every year should become more curated in terms of the people you're with and the experiences that you're having.
Okay, and we have our next question.
Okay.
It's on staying true to yourself. How do I stay true to my values when campus culture or my friend group seem to pull me in the opposite direction? So if I'm drawn to extroverted, rajasic energy, how do I not give in to peer pressure?
Yeah. I think a whole lot of students struggle with this. In my travels, in my hanging out with students, maybe they're quite disciplined in high school, but when they get to college, that discipline is dissolved fast. And I think it's the people around them that cause that. All of us are influential people, which means we're also open to being influenced. Sometimes I think I can influence you, but I'm not susceptible to being influenced. But the fact that I can influence you means I'm also open to being influenced. So keeping that truth in mind when entering college, being in college, it is better to have some good friends than to have many not so good friends. In other words, quality is better than quantity. When we're in elementary school and middle school, our greatest role models are our parents. But when we get to high school and college, it becomes our friends. So if I have a friend who's very judgmental, gossipy, etc., they're going to influence me to be the same way. So I have to be more careful, selective with choosing friends wisely. Then the next aspect, and this is almost depersonalizing the human element of this. Lots of college students have told me that college is a toxic experience. A lot of negativity in terms of what you hear and what you see and what you eat and what you drink. But I feel the most toxic time happens at night. And the later, the deeper you get into nighttime, there's more negative energy, rajasic or aggressive energy. So what if I just went to sleep earlier? Then I would be away from all of that, and the chances of me waking up earlier is better in terms of exercising and reading. And I like to talk a lot, so I'll give you one more way to think about this. On Friday night, you've gone to school all week and you're studying for your exams and this and that. So Friday night, go out 100%. Saturday, go out 50%, like 50% of that commitment in terms of what you're taking in and how late you're staying out. And then on Sunday, 25%. And the reason I share this is many people go hard on Friday. So Saturday is a very slow day. So what do they do on Saturday? Go hard again on Saturday. And then that whole weekend is gone. But if you can just be a little bit more intelligent about socializing, etc., and on Saturday, go hard 50%, you get half of Saturday to just be productive and you get most of Sunday then.
Yeah, that's such a smart way to think about this in terms of like scheduling, time management, and also still exposing yourself to the fun in college. Mm-hmm. And the follow-up question I have here is, how do I train myself to make better choices in the moment, especially when I already know what's right, so I have this plan, but then sometimes I have this tendency to go the other way. So what can I do in the moment to make the right decision?
Yeah. We tend to make the wrong decision because we want to be liked. I want you to like me, so even though I know this is right, but I want you to like me, so I start to drift away from what I feel to be right. Now, why do I want you to like me? Because I don't like myself enough. And if I took vitamin R3, which is reading an inspiring book, then writing about that book, then reflecting on that book, I will just start to like myself more. I will become a more secure person. And so I know what is right, and I'll be stronger in following what is right rather than be swayed by what may be wrong. One more way to process this, to implement this, is the busier we are, the more reactive we become. A busy person has to react a lot. I recently went to see F1, the racing movie, and part of the training is reaction times. But nobody here is a professional racer. There's a high chance you're never going to become a professional racer. So this notion of I have to be so reactive, that's not our design. So instead of living in such a busy way, to slow down some, because then it becomes a catalyst to responding instead of reacting. And a sign of this, a litmus test, is how you communicate with your parents. High school students, college students are like a volcano. With anything their parents say, they explode. And then the parents explode, and it's just this compound effect of this volcanic activity. But if your parents say, you know, why did you do this or why aren't you doing this? Even if they're reacting, if you're able to respond, then you know that you're following through with, you have slowed down and you're following through with liking yourself more. Try that.
Yeah, that's solid. And the next question we have is related to identity and change. So It's common to feel like a different person in different settings, and especially in college, it feels like you're in so many different environments, right? You're joining all these clubs or around that group of people, and then you have your housemates that you come to, and you have going back home and then being with your professor. So there's so much going on. The question is, I feel like a different person in all these settings, one way at school, another at home, another in spiritual spaces. Is that normal? And how do I bring all of myself into one place and kind of shape that identity and still be authentic to myself?
Yeah. It's a very relatable question. You asked if it's normal. It is normal, but I wouldn't describe it as being healthy. I become like a chameleon then. Like if I ask all of you to think about a strong animal or a strong reptile, you're not thinking of a chameleon. You're thinking of an elephant or a lion or an alligator, etc., but not a chameleon. And I think psychologically, it's like imposter syndrome. I'm with you like this, then I'm with you like that. So it's not healthy. Whenever I try to answer subjective questions, I try to give multiple narratives, starting with the higher. And the reason for that, we tend to be exposed to lower narratives, and that's all the bar we tend to jump over then. But if we raise the bar, really we become better people. We become happier people. So the high bar response to this is putting an effort to get to know yourself. Specifically, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And then in business school, you learn about a SWOT analysis, yes? You add in opportunities and you add in threats. What's going to help my strengths and weaknesses? What is threatening my strengths and weaknesses? So get to know yourself. As someone who dated, then got engaged, and then got married, and am presently married, I'm about to be married for 15 years. By dating, I got to know so much about myself. These things bother me, or I should change in this way. We put in a lot of effort to get to know other people and other colleges and master's programs and so on, but really date yourself. Get to know what makes you react, what makes you respond. So I'd start off with that, where you get to be, this is who you are. Now, how you know that you're following through with this is my lower narrative, is you become more adaptable. The people virtue is adaptability. Then I can adapt to when I'm with someone who's more judgmental, someone who's more athletic, someone who's older than me. I adapt to them, but I don't give up my value system for them. It's almost like communication styles. When I'm teaching and there's a video recording, I share in a different way. When there's an audio recording, I share in a different way. I'm simply adapting, but the teaching is not changing.
Yeah. And a related question with this is, so we've talked about our mindset in these different situations, and when we want to prioritize different social, academic, and professional activities, especially when starting college, it can feel like a lot.
Yes.
So should we still continue to explore a lot of those activities, even if they might leave us with less time to invest in spiritual practices and satsanga, like temporarily?
Yeah. So I'm just going to state the question again for myself. As I speak it out, it helps me to reflect. If I have 1 hour, should I try to have new experiences, and that means I don't have enough time for reading and writing? So what is the trade-off? What should I choose? I feel that spirituality is getting to know who you are at your core. Just like chemistry is the science of, let's call it chemicals. So spirituality is the science of the spirit. That's the most central part of who I am. That is not activity-based. Like, just because someone sits in a mandir doesn't mean they're spiritual. And just because someone really works hard at playing American soccer doesn't mean that they're not spiritual. Okay. Whatever is helping you to feel that you are more than the body, more than the mind, is spirituality. So now with that attitude, I should go through diverse experiences, especially in college. For those who have completed college and have started to work, you can never not work then. That responsibility is almost there forever. And that's why I tell high school students and college students is have fun. Right now, your parents would describe you as a kid. Be a kid, because once you stop being a kid, you can never go back. Mm-hmm. And that diversity of experience really builds confidence. When I was in high school, I tried to follow everything I'm sharing, and it sort of worked out for me. When I was completing high school, then, in the school I was in the school system I was in, the valedictorian is not gauged by academics, but who represents the school the most. So by accident, they gave me that award. And then that same year, by accident, I won prom king. And my point that I'm sharing in all of this is I feel like I had a diverse experience. And by doing so, it helped me to have the confidence that I can continue with the same strategy in university and beyond.
I think it's just so helpful to have this advice, because sometimes it might feel like you're not supposed to engage in like fun in mm-hmm. college, and you're supposed to just stay focused and like focus on your studies and whatnot. But this is such like holistic advice that we're getting here.
Sure.
What is something that Vivekji recommends that university students engage in on a daily basis? And then what are some reflective questions for them to maybe journal about or mm-hmm. think about as they move through their years in college?
Yeah. I feel like you've already stated one of the answers, which is to journal. There's so many emotions that start to flow in college in terms of romantic relationships, in terms of like having a housemate or a roommate, which you tend not to in high school. So a lot of emotions. And if those emotions aren't channelized, they implode. So journaling is very, very, very healthy. I have so many notebooks, and I don't journal in the sense of like, this person said this to me today, or I didn't like this, but I write down my reflections. I write down my thoughts about what did I learn today? How didn't I grow today? Offering more specifics pertaining to this. The practice that will help someone be successful versus struggle in college would be their sleep hygiene. For those who have a disciplined sleep hygiene, I almost want to put a guarantee that they're going to be successful in college. And I certainly don't mean academically as well. That's why I brought up the point about winning certain awards that are not academic based. They're based on being with people. So sleep hygiene. My father taught my sisters and I from a very young age to wake up early. But then that forces you to sleep early as well. And you're just stronger physically, mentally in the morning. So sleep hygiene. And now making this more relative is to look after one's physical health. When I was in university, I had access to poutine as much as I wanted, whenever I wanted. Now, all of our American listeners think I'm speaking French right now. A poutine is French fries. On top of that, moderately cold cheese curds. And then on top of that, hot mushroom gravy. And I remember someone who had poutine for the first time who had come from America, and he was eating it, and I had asked him, how was the poutine? And he goes, it's like they took the best things in the world and mixed it together. So, and my point is like, in college, you can just eat junk all the time, even though it's tasty, but it's junk. And that's why being physically healthy, like jogging every day or going to the gym or swimming, joining water polo, basketball, indoor soccer, rec league, it doesn't matter. That physical health helps one to have better eating habits too. And as you eat, so you feel. If I eat sugary food all the time, I'm going to feel that. But if I eat healthy food, I will feel that also. So those are two tips which I followed most of the time, mm-hmm. of the time, and it worked.
Yeah, that's awesome. And before we wrap up, I have one final question,
for
actually.
Sure. Go for it.
On friendships and romantic relationships. What is Vivekji's advice or take on dating in college and recommendation for that?
Yeah. Never date everyone. No. I'm not sharing that. I feel when you like yourself enough, then you're ready to share that liking with another in the form of dating. But if you don't like yourself enough, whatever relationship you're in will become problematic for you and that person as well. In our culture, when you're around 6 years old, you actually move to the Gurukula and you live in a space where there's two people, that is a guru and a guru patni, who have this real love, selfless love, independent love, which becomes a sense of role modeling for that person who wants to learn about love. And only after you're living there for around 12 years, where you've learned to love yourself, then you leave and you go and get married. So there's a sequence to all of this. Love yourself, then love others. So that's the holistic way that I would encourage people to date, is like yourself more. Next is, and this is a strategy I share with a lot of younger people who are looking for a partner, is you can use Tinder, you can use Hinge and whatever other apps there are, like matrimony.com and shadi.com and so on. And I know none of these because I'm happily married. But I have found that the most successful way to do this is to be involved in many sattvic social circles. So as an example, if I go on a yatra or a pilgrimage to New Zealand and there's 40 other people who are like-minded, now I know them and they know me. And now I'm part of a study group in Washington, D.C. So now I know them and they know me. So I'm part of these sattvic social circles where that introduction will come naturally and will be more meaningful because I'm with a like-minded person. It's not that these people are drunk or that person's beautiful. Like, it's so temporary how we try to find someone that we want to date.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I feel like a lot of us don't necessarily get this advice from, you know, families and whatnot. So this is such a great spot and space for us to have these conversations.
You're right, but no parents are going to listen to this now.
So we really appreciate Vivekji's time with us. Before we wrap up, Vivekji, what is one last thought you'd like to leave us with today for students and parents?
Yeah. When I was growing up, there is a brand of t-shirts I saw a lot, and that brand was No Fear. I don't know if you ever remember seeing those t-shirts around. It just said No Fear. Sometimes people are afraid of college, both the college student, some people are afraid of graduating from college, then parents are afraid of their kids being in college. Whenever you start from a place of fear, it's not going to be focused nor fun. So letting go of that fear, everything I do becomes more focused and more fun. And if that's too poetic, I'm gonna just bring it down one level. I go hiking a lot. We go hiking to the Himalayas. We go hiking through the Rockies. And I share with the seekers around me, if you think you're gonna fall, you're gonna fall. So don't think you're gonna fall, and the chances of you falling is much less. So if high school students going to college students going to work, parents of high school and college students, to try to have more faith that all will be fine. Makes everyone just more focused and have more fun.
Vivekji, thank you for hanging out with us today and answering in such a clear, simple, and inspiring way for all of our young adults. We hope you enjoyed this episode with Vivekji and hope this leaves you feeling inspired, whether you're interested in college or you're a parent or a young adult already in college. So thank you.
If you enjoyed what you heard or want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at facebook.com/CM Niagara. For those on the journey of self-development, Chinmaya Mission Niagara provides a community forum for seekers to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmaya Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.